Yes, and you're listening to Stages. Well, kicking off last weekend, the Mardi Gras Festival has opened, and at the Seymour Centre, Tommy Murphy's play, Strangers in Between, has been revised to celebrate it. Coming of age and a coming out story, and we have Simon Burke on the line to have a chat about the production. Welcome to Stages, Simon.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Now, if we tried to give an introduction to you, we'd be here for the whole show. You've been in like over 130 productions, stage productions in Australia and overseas, not to mention 2 decades on Play School and, you know, like I said, an arm and a leg and a body full of work. So do you want to give us a little taste of Strangers in Between? This was originally staged 2005. And do you want to set the scene for us, for the listeners?
Sure. The story is about a young 16-year-old kid called Shane who comes to Sydney escaping a pretty, violent family life in Goulburn. Mm. He's a kind of... It is set in 2005. and it was written by Tommy Murphy. It's one of his first plays, and it is kind of slightly autobiographical in that Tommy is from regional New South Wales and came to Sydney sort of quite young and naive and full of kind of hope and craziness and all the kind of fears that one has as a sort of teenager becoming adult, with in terms of their sexuality, in terms of, you know, things like you know, when I move out from home, do I keep honey on a shelf or in the fridge?
How do I do the washing?
The really fine thing about this play, which is very amusing but very kind of life-affirming, is that Tommy wrote this as a 24-year-old. I was actually involved with it in a workshop of the play way back then.
Oh.
But, of course, was too young to play the character that I'm now playing. Coming back to it 14 years later and seeing the way that his command of the language of the 3 different characters in the play, or the 4 different characters in the play, of a 16-year-old kid from the country, of a sort of 50-something, middle-aged, sort of slightly fey gay man in Sydney, and of, you know, a kind of, he just has this command of language and the rhythm and the musicality of a certain type of, particular types of Australian characters, which is quite quite marvellous and really, really fun to do. And it's interesting doing the play. I mean, it's only sort of 13 years since 2005, but to see the reactions of the audience are so different. We seem to have, I guess, with marriage equality kind of sort of done and dusted, and I guess young people's sexuality being much more, I guess, accepted by parents and families, what we're finding is we have a Mardi Gras audience, which is always lovely, but, you know, we're having lots and lots of women who are clearly parents, not necessarily of gay children, but of teenagers, who are just coming and just want to kind of just mother this kid. They're really responding to it as kind of as parents, as not necessarily as parents of gay kids, which I think this play would have been an oddity 13 years ago, but now it just seems to be part of the jigsaw puzzle that make us as a community just kind of more accepting of each other, which is really lovely. It's got a real sweetness to it, this play, which I guess it probably would have been more controversial in 2005. It only seems like a minute ago, but in many ways, Sydney and Australia was a very different place then.
Look, I was just thinking about that as you were talking, and it's amazing how the cross has changed in that period. And I was thinking that, you know, if you were a kid from the country these days, would you still go to the cross? I mean, it's mainly sort of cashed up property developers that go there these days, you know.
Yeah.
And so where would be the place of a place to start
soul,
or refuge or whatever for a young gay country kid these days?
Well, you know, you're probably talking to the wrong person. I have no idea. But
there's probably no answer to that. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess, I mean, I guess even 13 years ago, I mean, you know, we, you know, if you're in your 20s or 30s or whatever, you'd have a mobile phone, but not necessarily if you're a 16-year-old kid. I mean,
yeah,
these days, even a kid running away from home would have a phone. And then, I guess, access to, you know, friendship apps, what sort of stuff. And you'd get to find out an awful lot on your phone that from person to person. And I guess the really lovely thing about the relationship that my character has with Shane is, you know, I walk into a bottle shop where he's working and, you know, buying a nice bottle of Chardonnay.
Lovely. And, at $5 or something, no.
I get Queen Adelaide for my sister, whom like, but I get a nice bottle of Rosemount for me and my brother-in-law, which literally is in the flat. But... These guys strike up this very unlikely friendship, which instantly goes to sort of mentorship. And, you know, it was described by one critic as, you know, my character is like the gay Obi-Wan Kenobi for this kid. and it's a very, you know, in the hands of another writer, or, you know, if this were Current Affair or if this was Movie of the Week, it would be something that turned ugly, or, you know, the kid would end up with a sort of life-threatening disease, or he'd become a prostitute or whatever. But it's basically, there's something sweet about it where the kid comes to Sydney, you know, mucks up, you know, makes a few terrible mistakes, and then basically his life is enriched by the people that he meets, and the older characters whom he has interaction with are changed forever by, you know, the sort of... the goodness of this character. So, it is very, very sweet play.
It gives you a bit of hope then for humanity in that way, I suppose, that it's not going to be, you know, someone goes to the big city and gets swallowed up by it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Destroyed
right.
Destroyed by it, yeah.
I think it's also kind of, I guess, which I guess a lot of young gay people find, especially from families that aren't accepting, it's about finding your family, which is not necessarily your blood relations, you know, and finding your tribe and you know, just fitting in and getting on with life.
And being at home in
absolutely.
Yourself. Yeah.
And that sweetness that you talk about in the play, that universality, I think that a lot of young people do come to Sydney and try to find, as you say, a family that isn't necessarily a blood family. And what the sweetness that you talk about in this play, I found when we saw the play the other weekend, it was so sweet. I felt that there was a community, and particularly your relationship with Shane, your character's relationship with Shane, where there was this really protective protectiveness for the younger person especially when they find out how young he really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the same token, the play doesn't shrink from sort of difficult issues.
Yeah.
And it doesn't shrink from, you know, I guess, well, on the one hand, the difficult issues that you would imagine would possibly arise from such a friendship. But on the other hand, from the kind of particular humour that a character like my character, like an older gay man, who is sort of like, I mean, he's kind of, you know, he's not someone who goes to the gym and is trying to keep himself, you know, at 55, looking 35. He's someone who's kind of given in a bit. You know, he wears a cardigan and he's almost motherly rather than fatherly to the kid, which is a really interesting dynamic. I think, you know, everyone has in their life someone who kind of looks after them if we're lucky, and who is not necessarily a parent, or someone who kind of cares for them when things are down. But there's also great humour and you know, mucking around and teasing and stuff in those sort of relationships too, which I think Tommy's captured really well as a writer.
He has absolutely captured it. And I think, you know, we are lucky here in Sydney that we are in a very, you know, changed attitude. And I don't know how changed it is in Regis, maybe in Goulburn, but as you get further out. So I think what I really saw and what was really interesting too is that Shane, the main kid coming from town, he's the confrontational, him confronting his own anger about what he's been taught and what is accepted as right and wrong, as, you know, in terms of his sexuality. And so that he's sort of throwing that out at you and at his other, you know, his love interest. That was a really interesting kind of aspect to it, I found.
Yeah, totally. I'm glad you've got that, because it I mean,
that internal kind of, you know, struggle.
Yeah, and I think the nice thing about it is, straight or gay, male or female or whatever, I think it's possible to see yourself both as a teenager and, you know, like your first kiss or your first terrible date that doesn't go well, or, you know, like, you know, worried about the gel in your hair, and also as the person that, you know, that you turn to, or you know, it's so nice to be able to, you know, when you get to a certain age, to actually like to be able to kind of make people feel better about themselves and kind of help them out and show them the world. And I think that really great sort of mentory kind of friendship stuff is really well done in this play. And the reactions that we've been getting are just lovely. And I think probably even stronger than, I remember seeing the play back in 2005 when it was first done and being very moved by it. But it did seem, I guess it doesn't seem as gentle as it does now, and it doesn't seem as kind of, it's not a nostalgic play because you totally get that it could be happening now.
Mm.
But there's something about it which particularly, I think, you know, since the marriage equality debate and question was sort of forced down everyone's throats by the government with the long postal survey and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the fact that people's relationships were kind of hung out to dry, and you know, I think the result that was there, you know, is undeniably incredibly sort of positive and healing. And I think, I think people, this is a nice play to go and see with that knowledge that things have changed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And of course, Tommy Murphy wrote Holding the Man, which was so much more of a, I mean, seeing that play or the film, it's just actually heart-wrenching. And so this is a lot more gentler experience, I feel. But there is an underlying dark theme that Guy Simon, who plays the brother Ben as well as the love interest Will, I mean, he's just fantastic in this in those two roles. But there is that darker sort of theme there of sexual abuse in country towns and how that is also held under. And that's something that is affecting Shane as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, he certainly doesn't shrink from the issues. And as I said before, I mean, Tommy's a mate. We've worked a few times together. I was lucky enough to do Holding the Man in the West End for him. And he was one of the writers on Devil's Playground, which is my TV show I did a couple of years ago. But to see a friend, well, someone who is now a friend, and to revisit a play that he wrote when he was 24, is and the skill and the kind of it's quite masterful, I think. And you know, he even jokes like, you know, I don't know how I did this play when I was 24. because it's just been on in the West End as well. And so when these two new productions of it were mooted, he thought, oh, I'm 38 now. I'm a really smart playwright. I'm going to go away for 2 weeks and fix all the problems with his play. And so he sat down and sort of attacked and sort of changed a whole lot of stuff, and then was ready to send it off to the director and just went, do you know what? I'm going to leave the play exactly as it was written in 2005 because the naivety of the central character is what's charming about the play. And in many ways, there's little bits of the writing which are quite naive as a writer, which I think he came to see went hand in hand with the character, and so he's left, which I think is a really brave and kind of, you know, fantastic thing to have done. He's just left it as it is, And so I'm sure that is part of the reasons why people are responding to it so well is that choice.
Yeah, well, don't terrific. Fiddle with something that's right.
Exactly.
If it ain't broke.
Yeah. Don't fix it. Simon Burke, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
It's a terrific, wonderfully tender comic, transforming more of a coming of age than a coming out story today.
We're just on for another week and a half.
Just on for another week.
Come along and see it.
2nd of March.
Thanks again.
Fantastic. Thank you.